Just think about this problem for a second. Here's a lump of flesh, about 3 pounds, which you can hold in the palm of your hand, but it can contemplate the vastness of interstellar space. It can contemplate the meaning of infinity, ask questions about the meaning of its own existence, about the nature of God. And this is truly the most amazing thing in the world. It's the greatest mystery confronting human beings. How does this all come about? Well, the brain, as you know, is made up of neurons. Looking at neurons here, there are 100 billion neurons in the adult human brain. And each neuron makes something like 1,000 to 10,000 contacts with other neurons in the brain. And based on this, people have calculated that the number of permutations and combinations of brain activity exceeds the number of elementary particles in the universe. So how do you go about studying the brain? One approach is to look at patients who had lesions in different parts of the brain and study changes in their behavior. This is what I spoke about in the last 10. Today I'll talk about a different approach, which is to put electrodes in different parts of the brain and actually record the activity of individual nerve cells in the brain, and sort of eavesdrop on the activity of nerve cells in the brain. One recent discovery that has been made by researchers in Italy, in Parma, Giacomo Rizzolatti and his colleagues, is a group of neurons called mirror neurons, which are in the front of the brain and the frontal lobes. Now, it turns out there are neurons which are called ordinary motor command neurons in the front of the brain, which have been known for over 50 years. These neurons will fire when a person performs a specific action. For example, if I do that and reach and grab an apple, a motor command neuron in the front of my brain will fire. If I reach out and pull an object, another neuron will fire, commanding me to pull that object. These are called motor command neurons that have been known for a long time. But what Rizzolatti found was a subset of these neurons, maybe about 20% of them, will also fire when I'm looking at somebody else performing the same action. So here's a neuron that fires when I reach and grab something, but it also fires when I watch Joe reaching and grabbing something. And this is truly astonishing, because it's as though this neuron is adopting the other person's point of view. It's also almost as though it's performing a virtual reality simulation of the other person's action. Now, what is the significance of these mirror neurons? For one thing, they must be involved in things like imitation and emulation, because to imitate a complex act requires my brain to adopt the other person's point of view. So this is important for imitation and emulation. But why is that important? Well, let's take a look at the next slide. So how do you do imitation? Why is imitation important? Mirror neurons and imitation emulation. Now, let's look at culture, the phenomenon of human culture. If you go back in time about 75 to 100,000 years ago, let's look at human evolution. It turns out there's something very important happened around 75,000 years ago. And that is there's a sudden emergence and rapid spread of a number of skills that are unique to human beings, like tool use, the use of fire, use of shelters, and of course language, and the ability to read somebody else's mind and interpret that person's behavior. All of that happened relatively quickly. Even though the human brain had achieved its present size almost 300,000 or 400,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago, all of this happened very, very quickly. And I claim that what happened was the sudden emergence of a sophisticated mirror neuron system, which allowed you to emulate and imitate other people's actions. So that when there was a sudden accidental discovery by one member of the group, say use of fire or a particular type of tool, instead of dying out, this spread rapidly horizontally across the population or is transmitted vertically down the generations. So this made evolution suddenly Lamarckian instead of Darwinian. And Darwinian evolution is slow, it takes hundreds of thousands of years. A polar bear to evolve a coat will take thousands of generations, maybe 100,000 years. A human being, a child, can just watch its parent kill another polar bear and skin it and put the skin on its body, fur on the body, and learn it in one step. What the polar bear took 100,000 years to learn, it can learn in 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. Right? And then once it's learned this, it spreads by geometric proportion across the population. This is the basis of this imitation of complex skills, what we call culture and the basis of civilization.
Take bold, unprecedented action to preserve the financial system. At Morgan Stanley, we're grateful to everything the federal government, the American taxpayer, did to support our industry and to help bring stability back to the markets.
Okay, but that's only 3 out of 4 Wall Street chiefs who testified down in Washington. The one notable exception, J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon. Dimon is usually quick to admit mistakes or identify flaws in the financial system, so why not add his thanks? Maybe it's because he didn't want to advertise an inconvenient truth. J.P. Morgan may be the biggest beneficiary of all. Let's start with the federal debt guarantees. During the depths of the crisis, J.P. Morgan sold $20 billion of government-backed bonds, saving it hundreds of millions in interest. The company also took advantage of record low borrowing costs, posting some of its fattest lending margins ever. J.P. Morgan certainly wasn't alone here. All the big U.S. banks can borrow at the Fed's discount window, and all issue government-backed. What sets J.P. Morgan apart? The deals it did with government assistance. Bear Stearns, a shotgun marriage arranged and financed in part by the government back in March 2008. Dimon predicted Bear would turn a $1 billion profit last year. Then there's Washington Mutual. Dimon swooped in to buy the failed bank after the government erased all the debt and equity. He now figures one move eventually will earn several times what J.P. Morgan paid. These deals weren't risk-free, and of course, if the economy tanks again, are off. But they do tell you something about Jamie Dimon. While he may be right that J.P. Morgan never needed a bailout, he can't say he didn't.